Christian Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Voices whisper, ancient secrets, signs and symbols are abundant. UFOs, ETs, ghosts, and even the dead move about freely. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Trish McGregor and
Rob McGregor
and our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to themysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Among them are Phenomena, Harnessing Your Psychic Abilities, The Secret of Spirit Communication, which you guys probably know more about than we do, Sensing the Future, and Aliens in the Backyard. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, The Latest Science Stories and Research. Trish's most recent novel is White Crows, and Rob's is called Tulpas. If you're watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you would take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you can never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it's available wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there.
Okay, our guests today are a group of paranormal investigators, specifically ghost hunters or investigators from the Pittsburgh area. They call themselves Three Souls Paranormal, though there are actually five investigators, and we have four of them with us today all together in one place. They are Stephen Nolte, Frank Siri, Mark Kastner, and Missy Harmbeck. Welcome, Three Souls.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Rob, your volume was kind of low.
Is that true, John?
Nah, he's good. We're good.
Okay. Yep, okay. We're good. All right. Just don't want to get screwed up here.
Okay. All right. So we'd like to start by asking each of you to begin. Just tell us why you got involved in paranormal investigations, what you're interested in, and a little bit.
How you got started?
Yeah. Who's got it? You want to go first?
We just start with you.
My name is Stephen Nolte, co-founder of Three Souls Paranormal, along with Frank Siri. I started back in 1995. My sister died in a boating accident. And 3 days after her death, she actually came to me as a full body apparition.
Wow.
I was laying in bed, and my middle name is Scott, and she was like, Scott, next time you see me, I'm taking you with me, and vanished. That was it. There was nothing else. Then I was like, what the heck just happened? Like, you know, like seeing my sister, I'm knowing she's not here anymore, but seeing her face to face, and she tell me that, filled my mind. Scared the crap out of me, like, you know, because I didn't know what was going on. I was 15 years old. But ever since then, I've always had interest in the paranormal world with UFOs, everything else. And I really didn't start investigating. I mean, I'm going to cemeteries or whatnot back in, like, you know, early to mid-2000s, just going to cemeteries. But I didn't actually start investigating as a group or with anybody until Friday, June 13th, 2013, with Frank and my ex-wife.
Uh-oh. Wait, you were only 13, you were 15 when this happened?
Yeah.
Did you kind of freak out when you saw her?
Yes. Freaked me the heck out. Yes. Because I didn't know what was going on, like, because I knew she was dead. You know, we just, you know, and we went to her funeral and everything, and she's in my room talking to me.
Wow.
How soon after her death was that?
3 days.
Okay. Wow. Now, my sister died in 2023. I've only had one incident like that. I wish I'd have more. Not where she tells me she's going to take me with her, but, you know.
Yeah, that's what scares me most is, you know, I mean, that was just done. I haven't heard anything from her. I mean, she knows. I mean, did she tell me that she knows what's going to happen? I'm assuming. So, I mean, ever since then, I haven't had no interaction or anything with her.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think that just means that she's letting you know that she's not going to be able to see you until then, but she will be there for you then.
Right.
Yeah. So now, what about the rest of you? Have you all also had experiences like this?
I'm Mark Kastner. I joined the group. It was actually Scott or Stephen and Frank when I joined the group. And we actually met through YouTube. We were commenting. Steve and I were commenting. We were in on the same live stream feed in the live chat. And we just happened to mention that I'm from the Pittsburgh area. He said, well, I'm from the Pittsburgh area too. And here we never even realized that we were only like maybe 5 miles apart from each other.
Oh, wow.
At the time. And so we just decided to start collaborating together. We actually investigated a haunted museum. We were lucky enough to get in there, called the LeMoyne House in Washington, Pennsylvania. And that was our first investigation together. And I'd had some weird experiences growing up with, you know, just odd stuff happened here and there. And I've always kind of had a fascination with the paranormal. I'm not gonna lie, as a child, it scared me. It did. And, you know, it's kind of building that bridge from where something scares you to as you get older into adulthood, and you start to become more intrigued. And that's where I really started to pick up on, like, if you had told me, you know, when I started doing investigating, you know, back whenever I was a kid, I wanted nothing to do with that, or as a teenager, nothing whatsoever to do with that. But a lot of weird circumstances happened, and it just kind of got me intrigued into the paranormal, and been with it ever since.
Huh.
It was really cool meeting up with the guys, teaming up, and so I would suggest anybody out there, if you're into paranormal research, don't be afraid to collaborate and meet up with other groups with common interests in the paranormal. That's how we got together, and still going strong here 5 years later.
Right. Okay.
Now, what about you, Melissa?
Melissa Werbeck, I've been doing investigations for 18 years. I started doing it because I grew up in a haunted house, which was really
it's a good reason.
I have like some outrageous stories to tell. And sometimes when I'd be sitting there swapping ghost stories with people, I realized that not everybody was wholeheartedly believing it. And so my intention was to just believe that ghosts were real. I mean, to teach people to believe that ghosts were real, because I had seen them, I'd interacted with them. And then when I found out about the orb phenomenon, which is the little balls of light that you see in pictures, I found out those had a connection with spirit activity, that's when I really became an investigator. I went to an area around my house called Gretchen's Lock, where that was said to happen a lot. And I took a group of people that I worked with me, and we went out there and just pretty much started talking to ghosts like they were our friends. And we got amazing results. We've got some of the best ghost photos I've ever seen. Some of the best EVP recordings I've ever heard all came from that one area. And from there, I went on to helping other people with their ghosts. So my team mostly did home investigations, where we'd literally go and chase your ghosts out for you if that was what your problem actually was. We did a few of those that got really dark and unpleasant, to where I backed out of doing home investigations a few years ago, about 3 years ago. And then I met these guys at Gretchen's Lock. They came for a celebration we have down there, and we just hit it off really good. And I joined all of 13 too. And here I am now.
Okay, cool. So what about you?
Okay, I'm Frank Seary, and I had a personal experience. I didn't get into the paranormal right away. I got into it when I met Scott and his ex-wife, Emily. But I'm going to give you a little typical story, teenage story. I was a skeptic. I'll be honest with you. I was a skeptic. And this changed my whole belief. But we snuck in this house the lure was where this guy pushed his pregnant wife over a balcony and she hit the cement yard and she perished and the baby perished. Huh. So he went to the back room and hung himself. Jeez. So like 7 or 8 of us, this is something I remember like it was yesterday. We sneak in, actually we got somebody to buy us some beer and we go, we sneak in his house and we're up there. We search the house and nobody's in there but us. And we just sat there and was quiet listening and we didn't even open the beers. And all of a sudden we heard a door open, shut like 3 times and then slam. And it came down from the hallway around the corner where that gentleman was supposed to hang himself. And we just got like quiet as a mouse. And then all of a sudden we heard footsteps coming up the hallway and the hallway came out and there was a long hallway and it seems like somebody was like standing against the wall, peeking around the corner at us, like we were being watched, really intense. Well, all of a sudden we heard the footsteps again coming around the corner of the hallway. So we hauled butt down these steps and all of a sudden, as we were going down the steps, we heard this boom, 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 like somebody really like work boots just chasing us down the steps. Wow. And then we go to the middle floor, down the basement steps, and we go out this little window because that's how we got in. So we're going out the window and me being the last one, I look back and I see the light from outside is shining through this little window. And you can see like a shadow figure of a gentleman at this little man door that came from like the garage into the basement area. So I'm like telling these people, help me out. So I get out of there and end up going, the basement door slams again. And that was it. We get outside, we're sitting there and we're all like shaking off. And I was like, well, we're like, what just happened? You know, blah, blah. He looks at us and says, did anybody grab the beer?
We left like, it for the ghost. Nope.
And they were like, who's going in to get it? He's like, nope. So whoever bought that house, because it was the house boarded up to begin with. It was boarded up, you know, so nobody was living in there. Of course, we weren't trying to break into a house where that was vacant, you know. We get in there. And like I said, it was crazy. It was just crazy. You know, and that changed. Like I said, that changed. And that's where I started to believe it. But I didn't really get into the investigations talking about these guys, you know, Steve and Emily. So
now we did it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
We did it. We started investigating together a couple times, but we didn't have a group name. You know, it was just 3 friends getting together and doing what we were doing. And then from there it went on to where we're at now.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Real quick, I was just going to ask, and I know, of course, my dog just went crazy when I unmuted, but you're all 4 originally from the Pittsburgh area. You all were born and raised there, or?
Okay. I'm born and raised in Pittsburgh.
Born and raised this area as well, Washington County, Pittsburgh area. Yes.
I'm from Ohio. They found me over Gretchen's Lock.
What is Gretchen's Lock? It sounds mysterious.
It is. It's actually an area of Beaver Creek State Park in East Liverpool, Ohio, that's been haunted for over 150 years. There used to be a whole lock and dam system that ran through the creek there. At the time, it was the Sandy and Beaver Canal. And the engineer, the guy who built the locks and the dams, he came from Ireland on the way over. His wife passed away and she was buried at sea. He had a young daughter with him that he brought to the area where he was working. And I think they were there for about a year and she contracted malaria, the daughter that she remained with. She was 11 years old, and she passed away. He had always intended to go back to Ireland, so he had her body entombed in a lock that he was working on at the time. Mm-hmm. And that lock is now known as Gretchen's Lock. But ever since the death of the little girl, on the anniversary of her death, there have been reportings for the last 150 years of her spirit being seen along the trail that leads to the lock. So people go over there to chase ghosts, to scare the girlfriends, to get their Friday night fright thing going. And some people were there taking pictures and came to a place where I worked with these amazing orb photos. And I'm like, what is that? And then that's when I found out about the orb phenomenon. And that's when I went to Gretchen's Lock, and I've literally spent thousands of hours, not even exaggerating, over the last 18 years investigating there. And it is one of the most haunted places with the most cooperative spirits. I mean, we've literally had them. I'd be like, hey, these are my people. We're going to count the three, take a picture, show up, please. And they do. And so that's where I did all the training. If I wanted to bring on a new member to my team, we'd go there to train. I know how the spirits react. I know they're not violent unless you're ridiculous. And then they do tend, they can be violent, but they've always been good to me and my team. So
have you all heard of Casadega, Florida? That place may be as haunted as Gretchen's place.
Where was that?
Casadega, Florida. It's north of Orlando. It's a town of spiritualists.
It's a spiritualist community that's been there for
very old.
I've heard of one of them in New Jersey, too. I'd love to go visit.
Yeah.
Go to Casadega. We've had experiences with the ghosts there.
Yeah. Well, I could probably much do that. I have a daughter that lives in the land for it, man.
Oh, it's
perfect. Right,
right, it's
next to it.
It's very close.
Yeah. Samantha, hook us up there.
Yeah, she'll know about it. It's like 5 miles away.
Oh, that's awesome. Then I'm going.
And we just found out today that she has a bus. So.
Yeah. So I'd like to ask you, if you're using the terms ghosts and spirits interchangeably, do you see any difference between ghosts and spirits? I think some people look at ghosts as beings that aren't quite conscious and wouldn't be communicating with you, but would be moving through the same pattern of a house and like unconsciously, where spirits would be more communicative and active. Do you see it that way? Or
I do, yes.
Yeah, I do, yes.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland, and I moved up here to Pennsylvania in 2004. Okay. So that's where my experiences was at, in Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah.
See, I see them as, when I say ghosts or spirits, it's basically to me the same as tomato, tomato. It's I say ghosts and spirits, Ron, talking about the same thing. It's just how you refer to them. Now, when it comes to other paranormal things that are, I'd say, what's the right word, more scary than ghosts, like demons, or a spirit that or an entity. It would be something that's inhuman.
Right.
Yeah. I always took it as a ghost you could see, a spirit you could hear. That's the way.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Like spirits, you hear them, the moaning, all the other stuff.
Right.
Like with the situation, the situation where I said we were in the house with the guy and we heard everything, I would say that's a spirit. Mm-hmm. Because if we would have saw this, like at the end, I seen that, I don't know, like that, the outline, right? The shadow. Would that be like a ghost or a shadow figure? You know what I'm saying? Not
right.
Shadow figures are different than ghosts, too.
You know, it's not in body form.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think ghost spirits are in the same category, and that would be a person that passed away that for some reason is either still residually there because they had a lot of energy when they were here, or somebody that just hasn't let go. And then you have your demonic, which is also a form of the spirit.
Yeah.
but it's a different energy, and it comes from a different place, and it does different things.
And now, have you run into ETs in any of your investigations with this ghosts and spirits?
You know, that's interesting, because when I investigate, I don't mean to be talking too much, but we took so many pictures, because that's how I thought we were going to get our proof. You know what I mean? So I've got so many pictures and dozens of those pictures, not only I, but people that were not on my team and people that were on my team could see, and ectoplasm, mists, whatever you want to call that, that sort of apparition that shows up when you're, we've seen extraterrestrial looking beings show up at haunted places in our photos.
That's interesting.
I wish I'd actually brought some to show. I can hold them up to the camera.
You mentioned orbs. In Casadega, they actually lead orb tours.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people see them. I think you're going to love Casadega, especially since it's so close to where.
As soon as this is done, I'll call my mother, Samantha. I'll be like, why haven't you told me? And why are we not booked?
Yeah.
That's definitely going to get right there on my list.
Okay, good. Do any of you consider yourself to be, have psychic abilities? Is that a part of what you're doing, or?
I don't. Yeah, me neither. If we go to a haunted location, I'm like, something feels off in this building, but I can't speak, or, you know, like the medium or a psychic, I can't speak to them like that. But I mean, my body feels different in some areas when we go to haunted location. I mean, you get the, you know, goosebumps. You get that hair stand up on your arms, the goosebumps. That's my best tool of equipment, is how I feel throughout an investigation on how my body reacts to what we're doing.
Yeah, I feel like after all the years we've been doing this, the more places we've gone and investigated, I feel like we've picked up on that. We've honed in that skill more and more, where you can pick up on that stuff.
You recognize the change in the energy. You experience it so many times.
So, like the time we went in one place, it seemed okay, then went in another area of the place, it was heavy.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
So have you ever been involved with anybody who considers themselves a psychic and who might want to try to move the ghosts along to the light? Have you had any kind of experiences like that?
Well, I am a sensitive. I'm not a medium. I can't directly communicate within the mind like mediums can, but I can hear spirits, and I've seen enough. But that's what my team used to do. We used to go and either cleanse the area or cross over the spirit or make it leave one way, shape, or form. But that's what the main purpose of my team was before.
Oh, that's interesting.
Now, there's also an ancient cemetery in Casadega that you're going to love. There's a chair there called the Devil's Chair, and there's a whole lore about it.
Is that, did you get knocked out of that?
Did I?
No, is that the one where if you sit there, it will push you down off of it?
That's a good question. Our daughter sat in it one Halloween. She got freaked out, but
yeah. There's a story that if you would bring like a can of beer or a bottle of beer and leave it there and at night, in the morning it would be empty, that would be some indication of contact, but I've
it'd also be a hunger villager.
Could be just somebody to park in the cemetery getting free beer.
The caretaker.
Disembodied voice of John again, real quick. We have an episode of the Mystical Underground that's all about the Devil's Chair. So.
Yeah.
I'll put a link to it in the description when we post this. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
I shared your YouTube link out with everybody in the group, so everybody can at least go back and start watching these on YouTube.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Good.
Already subscribed. So.
Yeah. Could you guys describe one of incidents that's really fascinating? Maybe the ones that you've all worked together on, possibly.
This one.
So my little brother, who's part of the group, he's not here. He's working. Me, Mark, Frank, and my little brother went to this place called the Bergen House, sat in Bergen, New York. And the house had an exorcism done to it, and the owner had an exorcism done to it. So we was up in the seance room where they was doing seances at. And the owner, Katie, right? Katie was her name.
Katie,
yeah. Katie was her name. She was like, you don't mind if I bring my haunted dolls down to come, you know, hang out on a table? So I had a body cam going. Mark had a body cam going. Frank had his night vision camera going. We had voice recorders going. And Frank asked a question.
And yes. two questions.
And these dolls started speaking to us.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I said, are you upset that Katie moved you from your location to over here in the middle of the table? And we're just sat there listening, and we hear like a little soft voice go, no, like that. And then we were like, are you upset that we are here with Katie asking you these questions? Yeah. That was like, oh my God. We all heard it, plain as day. But yet, didn't pick up on anything. Nothing. Picked it up. No voice recorder, no cameras, no body cams, nothing.
That was the most intense house I've ever been in. My little brother was scratched up the back of his leg, three lines up the back of his leg. And I do have pictures, they're on my phone somewhere, of this little doll following my brother with her eyes. It's like looking at
him. Oh, that's freaky. And,
yeah, in the video, I do it on my YouTube channel. He's sitting there like this, just like rubbing his head the whole time, like, this thing was like completely just messing with them. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. Like, we've been to the Conjuring House twice, the Conjuring House up in Rhode Island. We spent the night there. There's nothing demonic about that house. I don't care what anybody says.
We have experienced.
Yeah, we've experienced.
That's more than one.
Yeah. We've been, you know, on the location, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, New York.
Kentucky.
Yeah. All these places, and I've never experienced anything demonic. The closest thing was the Bergen House.
Yeah,
that was the closest thing to anything being
evil. At the Conjuring House, we had activity, but like Steve said, nothing demonic.
Right, okay, you know? Define demonic. How does demonic feel?
Well, how can I say this? I don't know. It's like
something that oppresses you, makes you angry. Something like can physically take you over and make you feel some type of way. And that's what I feel like. That's what a demonic entity or evil entity could do to you. And none of those places I've ever felt like that besides the Bergen House, like just felt like
heaviness,
something like bad happened. Just
like something don't want you there.
Yeah.
You
know?
So typically if that's a more of a rarity. So typically in cases are you're not really frightened of what you're encountering or are you?
No, I'm not frightened just because me seeing my sister face to face. Now if I seen something like that now face to face, I'd probably be frightened. But as of now, I mean, I'm not frightened unless something drastic happens. And if something drastic happens, I'd actually quit.
I'm not frightened. I'll say extremely nervous. But now I have never, and an old saying, be careful what you ask for. I have never actually seen a full body apparition, like right in front of me. Now, if that ever happens, would I be terrified? Would I be like, I don't know. I can't answer the question because it never happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the one thing there. What about you?
I'm more afraid of the things that I can't see. And that I know. When I Okay, let me. I know we only have a limited time, so I'm going to try to get a very big story squeezed into a small spot.
Okay, good.
When I quit doing home investigations, I quit doing home investigations. It was a demonic entity, and it terrorized the family. They were literally living in a hotel. They weren't going. They wouldn't even step foot back into their property. They needed really a lot of help. The man had every penny invested in this property, and it was demon infested. I mean, the windows would shake, you would hear howling, the animals would get picked up and thrown, glass would get broke, appliances exploded. Huh. So they called my team. They were pretty desperate. They were staying in a hotel. And so we went, it was a 4-hour drive. We went, did what we could. And it didn't take me long to realize that we were dealing with demonic activity, which you can tell demonic activity because, like he said, the intensity of it. It'll make you physically sick. But just the claims alone, I knew it wasn't a regular spirit. So long story short, we ended up having to go to this house 4 times to do a cleansing. I had to bring a demonologist and a priest with me. And on the last time we went, we really thought we had it that time because everybody felt the difference. We all felt it lighten up. We seen it lighten up. The windows actually stopped shaking. The wind quit howling. So I left that house thinking that we did a successful cleanse and cleared this family of their horror. And when I got back in the car, a member from my team was on the phone. And somebody that was very close to me died while I was doing this investigation.
Oh, boy.
So we rushed back, you know, to do what we can to help. Well, a couple of days after this, I found out that while me and my team were at this house investigating, he was being lured by what they call a doppelganger. A doppelganger is an evil spirit that can take on the identity of somebody else. Mm-hmm. So while I was then 4 hours away cleansing this house of its demons, that demon was pretending to be me in East Liverpool and lured my friend out of his house in the middle. This was February. He didn't make it. They found him frozen to death 3 roads up from where he was. But my niece had tried to stop him 3 times. He kept saying, it was me and my little girl. Oh. Come here. And she stopped him from going, but then she had to go to work. And after she went to work, he must have went out on his own. And when she came back from work, he was gone. They went hunting. They found him literally on the right. So, it's the things I can't see that scare me, because that's when I realized that when you're dealing with something like a demonic possession, I never knew how far away they would reach to get to the person that's trying to stop them.
Jeez.
Like, it completely went outside of my team. It wasn't my best friend. It was a good friend. But you know what I mean? I was just so blown away that entity was even to have that much foresight into my life to know to go to somebody that I'm friends with and pretend to be me. And
did you ever banish this?
No, that was the one property we could never clear. That, of all my years, that was the one. We ended up doing a charity event and raising money for them to get another home.
Wow.
Because it just, I think it was conjured there. I think it belonged there. And whenever we would try to send it back to where it came from, it was already there. I truly believe that it hadn't been conjured there because it wouldn't leave the property. Like, you could see it. You could see the dark mass fly from one side of the house to the other, like instantly, but it would never leave the property. So I don't think
I know it's something like that conjured. I mean, so that it stays there for good.
Which already.
Or it could be an interdimensional portal there, too, and through that house where they're coming soon.
Yes, that is a possibility. But with the
dark magic,
is that what you mean? Yeah, I think it was dark magic. They found, when they first bought the place, they found some things that indicated there might have been something like else going on there before they bought it. That they found some, what they believe were satanic symbols. Didn't even took as satanic form to you know, to show itself. It would show up in what is like the goat tour, which most people relate with satanic. So it had something to do with that. I do.
Have any of you besides Steven seen a full body ghost or spirit?
Oh, I have.
I have. Like I said, I have it.
I have. I've still on it more than one.
I'm called full body now.
Okay. Yeah.
I've seen shadow figures, lots of shadow figures. They mess with me all the time. You could ask these guys, because I'll tell you a little something about myself. I had quadruple bypass. And ever since that happened and I healed up, I've been having problems with shadow figures messing with me all the time. And I actually had somebody tell me and say, you know what? The reason they're doing that to you is because what a lot of people don't know, when you go under the knife like that for something like that, they stop your heart for a second because they got to work on it. And they actually say you were dead for a little bit of time. Then they bring it back. And then that's what it is. You know, that stuff. They know you passed for a couple of minutes and they brought you back. So I actually had somebody tell me that. So I don't know, but they do mess with me big time.
Yeah, I think a scary situation for me would be if you're doing an investigation and then you go home and the entities follow you home.
That happened.
Yeah.
That happened with me.
Yep. We had that happen too.
Yeah. I was sitting in my house one night, my wife doesn't do this stuff. She's not into it. And we got this little like love seat that sit with a cup holders between us. And I do have cats. And one of the cats was sitting on my lap. And all of a sudden, I felt this burning on my arm. I know it wasn't my cat, because we got bopped upside the head. I looked down, and all of a sudden, three scratches on my arm were forming. Right here on my arm. And I actually got a picture of it in my phone. So, she was like, what's that? I was like, I don't know. You know, and I was like, it freaked me out. It did. Freaked me out.
How did your cat react?
My cat was just laying on my lap. I was petting her. No, she didn't. She didn't freak out or nothing. Wow. Nothing.
But I found that our cats are sensitive to any kind of spirit thing that is
around. They usually are.
Uh-huh.
Well, she was sleeping. She was sleeping on my lap. Well, I was fatter. So, I do notice sometimes in my house, my cat, I got a few cats and two dogs, and they'll be like, just looking rather
right.
than one. They're like, I just deal with it.
I always wanted to add a cat to the team because I think they're very sensitive.
Yeah, I think they are too. Yeah. Now, have any of you seen like spirit animals in any of these places you've gone to?
Never seen that. No, I haven't. No,
I never seen a spirit animal.
I saw one at the Ross house.
You seen one at the Ross house?
Yeah, spirit cat. Remember the first time we investigated there, and I'm like, I swear that's what that was. That dark thing that I saw, though.
That was in the bedroom? Are you talking about in the bedroom? When we lived there? I remember, because we were doing an EVP session up there.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying that there was that thing scurrying across the floor.
Yeah, I think it was a cat. I do.
That's interesting. So that would be kind of a type of technology to use a cat. But you've all been involved for a number of years in these investigations. I'm wondering about the technology itself, how it's what you use and how it's changed over the years. Has things developed more technologically oriented in our world? Can't hear me? Okay.
Mm-mm.
Sorry.
Well, during our first investigation, all we had was a voice recorder and like regular
cameras.
You know, yeah.
No,
the red light. We had a red light.
And the rim light.
Yeah.
But that was it. That was, you know, 12, 13 years ago, our first investigation.
Yeah.
And ever since then, so much stuff has come out. You don't even know what to do because they're releasing stuff every day, something
new.
With all these new different types of laser grids, then you got the little screen, you can see the figures on them. They're coming through this laser grid, like
the cat toys.
We like the cat toys. There's just so much stuff going on right now. We have, you know, our music boxes, our motion sensors, everything that we use, the night vision cameras, the, you know, she has a security system, I have a security system, body cams. We have so much stuff that we record on, but the best piece of equipment is still your body.
Yeah.
I still go back to what the first thing I started with, which was the camera and the voice recorder. Mm-hmm. Because the EVP is my favorite form of evidence, because if we're in a room and we're talking and asking questions and somebody answers and we know it was not us.
Yeah.
You know, that's 100% proof for me. So that's always been my favorite form of evidence is my problem is getting enough people to join a session to do an EVP, you know, to get everybody. But
And we also noticed where we just sit there and be quiet, you know, and it's like we ignore them. And then that's all of a sudden, that's when we start hearing stuff.
Oh.
It's like, you know, they stop to ask us questions or they pay attention to us. Then they make the little noises and this and that. And we know it's not us.
Right.
Like you said, right. It's not us. And then it's like, okay, they're letting us know something because we're ignoring them.
Now, the SLS cam, I think, is probably one of the more fascinating of the new equipments to me, because it can actually show people who can't see a spirit where the spirit is. You know, it shows up in a stick form figure.
Yeah.
Like, you can say, like, raise your right hand and they'll do it, you know, and you know you're talking with something that's responding. And so I do appreciate the genius behind the SLS, but yeah, I'm hooked on the EVP, simple voice recorder. It's my favorite tool.
Yeah, EVP is what originally, that was my fascination and got me involved with.
Yeah, could you explain what that is? My impression of EVP was like tuning in between radio stations and static and
electronic voice.
No. It's an electronic voice phenomenon is what EVP stands for. And if you can do it, I can do it, he can do it, anybody can do it. You just get a recorder and you set it down and you start talking to the spirits. And a lot of times, I want to say at least 7 out of 10 times, I'll get someone to answer and it picks up on the recorder. So you play back what you recorded and say, hey ghost, I'm here. What's your name? And so you play it back and you hear you say, hey ghost, I'm here, what's your name? And you hear something say, Charlie. And you know that wasn't you.
Yeah.
That's the radio
station thing is the spirit box.
The spirit box.
Spirit box, okay. So,
yeah, that's what it is.
So these recordings, though, you don't hear the voice actually at the time it's spoken, but when you play the recording is when you hear
that's
it.
That's when you hear it.
Well, sometimes you hear both.
That's a disembodied voice, and your recorder just picked it up too. But for the phenomenon, no, nobody hears it. It's I don't know how they do it, but it shows up there, and sometimes you can't understand it, and sometimes it's as clear as you and me talking right back.
Wow. Rob, that sounds like Susan Yontorno is what her experience. Yeah.
Last week we went back to the Ross house. Was it last week? Yeah, last week. What happened here?
Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah, we're still
okay.
Okay, so I'm bumping with my computer. So last week it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the one like the family room we was in, we was doing a voice EVP session with the voice recorder, and in one bedroom there's a picture of this guy on his dresser. So nobody knows who he is. This is a picture of this guy. So I asked the question. I was like, what's the guy's name in the picture on the dresser? And on my voice recorder, it says, get out. Plain as day, it says, get out.
I have that. I'm going to try to play that and see if you guys can pick up on that. I've got a shortcut in that just where.
Great.
Okay. Yeah, that's an EVP.
So if you guys can be able to hear it, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to play this. She's on here.
Yeah, and we make sure we do this. Like, this has just become a staple. We do it.
Right there.
And okay. Did you hear it?
So, yeah. Where's the speaker at? I'm going to go up close.
Yeah, play.
Okay, he says, sorry, he's not putting your voice.
You're good.
He says, here's the man in the picture in the bedroom. And I think it's about 2 or 3 seconds after that, you just hear it say, get out.
Ooh.
Okay, so here we go.
Who's the man in the picture upstairs in the bedroom?
Oh, God.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that is freaky.
That's an EVP.
Yeah.
That's my favorite form of men.
Okay, yeah.
I could see why.
Yeah. Don't believe it. They're sitting there naked or not. Right. You can't argue that.
No.
Yeah, John had mentioned a name, Susan Yontarno. She's been on our podcast 4 times, and she's had the recordings very similar, that kind of voice.
And she's dealt with demons.
And she's dealing with demons. I mean, she's had some terrible experiences. She's actually had fighting them with a blade and ending up cutting her own ankle and
wow.
Well, yeah, I just don't mess with them demons no more. Yeah. I don't go to fight other people's demons.
We've heard growls, but I don't consider that no demonic. Not necessarily. Here and there.
Not necessarily.
When you come across something like the Exorcist, mm-hmm. that's demonic. You know.
When something can levitate you or an item in the room,
right?
That's most likely demonic because that takes such a strong spirit. To be able
have you
to
seen that?
I've seen it in the house that I was talking about.
We have friends of ours. They're a paranormal group, Dark Hall of Paranormal, and they are part of the historical society in the Indigo, Pennsylvania, and they do events at this place called Liberty Theater. So you know how people say that mirrors are portals. Yeah. So I put up the pillars in the basement. I put up mirrors on each side, and I have little K2 meters down on the bottom. And you ever heard of cat toys? What people investigate with now, the little clear balls. So I had one sit on the mirror, and it was probably within like 10 minutes, you know, of us asking questions. This thing gets smacked off this mirror across the room. It was like, what the? What? Like he's just like flying in the air, bouncing on the ground. Like, what the heck's going on?
It was a difference between like it rolling off by itself or like somebody went
It didn't fall from vibration.
Because it would have fell, it would just bounce.
And one of the most crazy things, there's this place here in Pennsylvania called Greenville Manor. It's closed now. So we was there like 3 years ago, something like that. And so me, Frank, and my little brother are outside talking to the owners at the time. And Mark is up on the second floor putting up his cameras. And I had a camera. It was an old funeral home. And so I had a camera rolling. And you hear my voice going, Mark. Something mimicked my voice in there. Try to talk to Mark, and we wasn't even there.
We were outside.
And I heard it. I heard that it just sounded like Stephen. I called out. I didn't realize that they were outside. So I'm just up here, you know, setting the camera equipment up.
I like the mimics.
And then whenever we got to reviewing stuff afterwards, after we were done with the investigation and went home, that's what Stephen was like, I wasn't inside at the time. I have no idea why my voice came through. But it was really cool because it was something that I actually heard.
Me and Steve were hanging out a lot that night. I would have been there to hear him say, Mark. But he didn't say that at all. We were outside.
You guys should write a book. people need to hear about this kind of stuff.
Well, I got a couple things that happened to me that I don't even know we got time for.
There's a book, a friend of mine, Tony Lavorio, wrote a book. It's called Astonishing Tales of Pennsylvania. And it's got two stories from my OPIT team investigations in that book.
So, what's the name of the book?
I thought about writing a book, Astonishing Tales of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Well, I mean, Missy actually just joined our group earlier. I mean, like late summer last year, but we've done it for 2 years. But we've been doing this, me and Mark Frank now, and going on 5 years, and me and Frank been together 13. But we've been to Gettysburg, numerous times.
Yeah.
Me personally, I used to go out there by myself. I've been there to Gettysburg like 35 times. And I love Gettysburg. It's my favorite place. If you ever heard of Jenny Wade, if you've been to Gettysburg, she was killed she's the only civilian killed in the Civil War. I actually got her full body apparition picture. They're sitting there hanging up in my basement right now where we're at.
Oh.
And it's verified. It is verified.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Did you take the photo?
Yeah, I took the photo. When we was in the house, I heard up the steps. And I'm like, what the heck was that? So I was scared. Like, this is like my first time ever, like, by myself investigating. So the steps are like this. I'm with my phone. I'm going like this, snapping a picture. Click. I wouldn't even look at the steps. And I brought her up the top of the steps.
And then in the EVP at her cemetery,
yeah,
grave site.
Yeah.
And we actually heard something. Steve asked a question. And we heard, play this day, I didn't die.
Huh. Really? Wow.
Yeah, she was dug up and buried 3 times.
Wow. Well,
when we were at Waverly, my sister and I were in a hospital room. It was a room that two sisters had shared. So my sister and I went in there thinking, since we're sisters and they were sisters, maybe we... Anyhow, so we're talking to this... My sister was actually the one that said it. She said, do you know why you died, or do you know how you died? And we got a voice reporter, EVP, that said, what? Did I die?
like they didn't know he died.
Wow.
Like it was, yeah. She literally sounded surprised. She's like, what? Did I die?
Yeah.
And it was a female voice.
Oh.
Huh.
Well, I'll tell you a quick one. Okay. Actually, me and my wife and I, we actually went out to the store one time, and we usually kennel our dogs because they get in to stop the trash, this and that. Then we got to the store. We were like, she said, did you kennel the dog? So I said, no, why did you? She goes, no. I said, oh, my God, we got to have a mess to clean it up when we get back. Well, we came back in a couple hours later. They didn't do nothing. They were excellent. They were laying in their beds in the room. And I was like, okay, let's give them a good treat. We had like a regular bones that we give them, and we had this dog jerky we give them. And I was like, well, hon, what should we give them? Beef jerky or the bones? She goes, just give them the jerky. And she's over across the kitchen near the sink, and I'm on the other side. And she heard this too. And I was like, are you sure? Just give them the jerky? Because I would also give a bone too. A man's voice, plain as day, said, just give them the jerky.
Like you heard it.
Yeah, Mary heard it too. She was sitting around at me, and she thought,
that's incredible.
Walk at her. She was ready to say something, and then she stops. I'm like, that wasn't me. I'm over here. She goes, yeah. Then she turned around and says, I'm gonna appreciate you being here. Get the hell out of my house.
Like, here you go. Yeah. High handle.
Yep. Yep. Wow. She heard it too. Plain as day. Yeah. Just give him the jerky.
Okay.
Did the dogs react at all?
What's that?
Did the dogs show any reaction to them?
No, they were in the other room.
Oh, okay.
They were in the room laying on their beds. Oh, like I said, I have seen, like last night, you could ask Mary, sitting in the recliners, and one of my cats got up, and he was on my lap, and all of a sudden he did one of these numbers where he put his paws up. He's like, look it. And I'm like, he's looking towards my bedroom.
Staring.
He's looking at my bedroom.
And I said, "Man, look." She goes, "It's played off." She goes, "He just probably hears other cats." I didn't hear no cats. Because, yeah, you just were staring. You know, like, it freaked me out. It did. It freaked me out because that's the first time I seen him do that like that. Mm. You know, like, and he was like looking over the recliner, just staring.
Yeah, you see something.
Well, I do think that when, especially dogs, lose a companion, another dog, yeah, and you see them gazing off, I think they see the spirit.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah. Stephen, I'd like to ask you a question about Gettysburg. You've been there many times. What about the people who work there, the officials? do they report things? Are they aware of spirit contact there?
Oh, yeah. They always have like Civil War reenactments there. They all report things that what goes on. Like pretty much the whole town is haunted.
Sometimes in Gettysburg, they say you can't tell the ghosts from the real people.
Right. you can, like, just us. What Greg was talking about, the session we was doing at Jimmy Wade's grave. We standing there. We heard a residual cannon fire. And it shook the whole ground. Like, it felt like an earthquake.
Yeah, and there was another couple.
There was another couple that were
the same thing about the same thing. Like, what was that? Yeah. Like, is there any reenactments going on today? We're like,
no.
First we said, we don't know. And I said, we don't think so.
Yeah.
Then when we were done at the cemetery, we did ask people. There's no reenactments.
No, I mean, just anywhere. You go anywhere, you hear residual gunshots. You hear people talking everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere there.
How about the time we seen the lantern in the woods here?
Yeah, we was driving through the battlefield late night, and you seen lanterns in the woods on like fire,
like a fire, like a flame, like
nothing there. We drove right through it.
We drove right by it. There's nothing there. Nothing there.
Right. Wow. So, what's keeping mainstream science from accepting spirits and ghosts? I mean,
that's a very good question.
I can't answer that. What's
I mean,
fear?
Are they developed to record, to capture, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've decided that if you want to believe, you can believe. But if you don't want to believe, there's no proof that's out there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a part of belief. Scientists don't like to think that science is a part of a belief system, but in a sense, it is.
In a sense, it definitely is.
Well, I welcome any scientist with that attitude to sit down with me for a 20-minute EVP session in a very haunted place. Because that's the only time I leave them speechless.
Yeah. See, I believe people who die suddenly are here. Like, they can't cross over because they don't know what happened.
Or unfinished business.
Like, I feel like, you know, like the people in the Civil War, everybody, they're sighted to the Civil War soldiers everywhere. You get shot and killed, that's automatic. You're dead. Like, you can't go anywhere after that. That's where your body's at. That's where you're stuck. Like, a car crash, somebody dies, boom, that's where you're at. Like, I don't believe you cross over after that. I think it's a sudden death will keep you here. That's what I believe.
Yeah.
And I disagree.
And there's people out there.
I don't always agree on everything, but.
There's people out there that know what I do, know like what we do, and know about me personally, and they don't believe. And each their own. That's the way I look at it. Like I said, I was a skeptic until I had that personal experience, and that's what they tell me. Well, I'm not going to believe until,
and that's what it takes.
I saw it happen to me, and I'm like, that's cool. And we don't force anything on anybody. You know, that's the thing about us. You know, we're not going to like. She had a guy in your throat. Well, this happened. This happened. This did. No, we're not going to argue with you. No, you believe it. You believe it. You don't.
I'm on the air for
I think all of you need to go to Casadega and stay in the hotel because that's where the hauntings are.
We're going to be down there anyway. So.
Yeah, we had a scary experience there.
Yeah, we did.
I cannot wait to go check that. And I do that.
We were the only ones in the hotel. It was it was
Biker Week
in Daytona. So all the tourists were in Daytona, and Casadega was empty. And it was a very cold night. And we were on the second floor, end of the end of the hallway, and we, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and our daughter was like 1 year old. She was asleep. We were reading, and we hear this thumping noise coming down the hall, like heavy.
First up the stairs.
Yeah, first up the stairs, then down the hall, and it came right to our door, and I put my hand on the handle, and it jiggles in my hand, and there's no way I'm opening that door.
Rob moves the dresser in front of the door, like that's going to help.
We moved the dresser in front of the door. I mean, the sensation was so enormous of there an entity right on the other side of this door wanting us to invite it in, and no way were we going to do
that. No. There wasn't a part of you back here that just went to open that door and go,
But yet we had another experience in the Dominican Republic in a hotel that was totally...
totally different.
Yeah, totally different, because it was so uplifting. I mean, we were in a hotel where we had no idea that we had reserved a hotel that was had three sides of it, and the ocean was on the far side, and in the middle, the plaza, what we thought was kind of an old plaza, it was a graveyard. And our balcony looked right over the graveyard, and our daughter, she was about 12 years old, and she said, "I don't want to be here any longer with this graveyard here." And so we had one experience where I was there on a windsurfing vacation, and we found the gate open one day, and so Trish and I walked in, and we thought this was like an old cemetery, but here right near the gate was somebody who was a windsurfer who had died 4 months earlier, and the top half of his windsurfer was used as his grave marker. And then an old guy walked up with a shovel. He's a grave digger, and he says, "Come on back here. You know what happens here? The sand keeps coming in." So I dig down, and there's a grave. There's bodies built on top of one another, and we're digging down. And at that point, Trish and I, decided, I don't think so.
So Rob picks up a rock from the gravestone,
yeah, right,
and takes it with him.
So I picked up this rock, and we talked to the management, and they moved us to a building on the side where nobody was in that building. So, but the only problem is the door. The porch looked out on the ocean, which is great. It's closer to the ocean, but the door was actually closer to the graveyard, and so that night, so that night is about 10:30, 11. Our daughter had was in the back of the. It was a large apartment we had there. They gave us, and we're in the front, and we had just fallen asleep. And I hear this sound like boom, boom, boom. It was like three times, like a wrecking ball hitting the side of the building. And there's a pause. And then again, boom, boom, boom. It happened three times. And on the third time, Trish and I both sat up simultaneously. And I thought I was dreaming. "Did you hear that?" She said, "Yes, I heard that." And the feeling was very
positive.
Positive. I just felt uplifted by this. And so we thought, well, then we tried to look at it logically. Maybe there was an earthquake. And so we talked to the management the next day. There's no earthquake. And he said, "But the spirits are very friendly here." And
because I asked him, I said, "Is the hotel haunted?"
Right.
No, the spirits here are friendly.
And the other thing that happened, was the television came on, and we hadn't turned on television at all that night. And suddenly the television was on. But anyhow, the next morning I took the rock and threw it back over to the.
Now, was that the Condren House or was that the Bergen House where
You turned the light off in the basement. It came back on.
That's the Condren house.
Condren house.
Okay. Yeah. we caught some crazy things at the Condren house when we was there. Me and Frank was coming up out of the basement. We was doing an EVP session down there. Oh, no, a spirit box session. And it felt like somebody grabbed my back and was sticking her hand into it. It was like real hot. Remember that?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, something was burning my back. Like, I felt it. So we go up the steps, and I had a camera sitting there recording the steps, and this big ball of light flies out my stomach.
Oh, yeah, God. You see that on the...
Oh, I see that.
On the,
yeah. Oh. Yeah.
When the yeah.
We're coming to the end of our time here. I just ask one more question. How do you find cases to investigate?
Here's something we do. We contact our local historical societies. We deal with like 4 or 5 historical societies. Like what Mark was saying, our first investigation together was the Lemoyne House. But there's this guy here in Pennsylvania. His name was Dr. Francis Lemoyne. He built the first crematory here in Western Pennsylvania down in Washington County. So we actually have access to that place, the first crematory built. So we investigated there, and then we investigated the Dr. Francis Lemoyne House. And they actually had the first 2 cremated bodies and vials in that house.
Yeah.
From back in the 1800s.
Wow. Or we'll do cemeteries that we know we're allowed to go to. So cemeteries.
I mean, we'll do cemeteries, or we'll, you know, like the big places like Ohio State Reformatory or places like that. We'll go, you know, for a few hours and go investigate, like prisons.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do a lot of things with all the historical societies.
Or some places overnight that we do too. So we go overnight.
And chasing legends, that's the honest part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now tell people where they can find your website and more about you and hire you to be their ghost hunters.
We are working on a website right now, but you can find us on YouTube, Free Souls Paranormal. I run that. Frank runs our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook. And I also do our Instagram page, Free Souls Paranormal.
I had a little bit on TikTok. But
hey, actually, it's apparent. Well, just breaking news, it's back up.
It's as we back speak. Up.
Yep.
Oh, really?
So, okay. Yep. Yeah. It may just be for 90 days, but it's back up at the moment. And
try just free for 90 days.
Quick piece of housekeeping. The episode, the podcast episode, the Mystical Underground episode that I was thinking about concerning the Devil's Chair, it was actually a reading of a piece of fiction by out of the Outliers collection of short stories by Trish and Rob. But still, it's based on the Casadega, so I'll still put that link in there. And then my last question is, you guys are in Pittsburgh, so anybody in Pittsburgh going to be rooting for the Eagles today in the playoffs?
I am.
Okay.
I like the Eagles, but like I said, I'm a baller, so you know who I work for.
Yeah. I'm from Pittsburgh, and I'm a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. And you see where that is.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks for joining the Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening and stay mystical.